Freeform Radio is on the air on the Freeform Network with the new president in the White House. You can follow us at Facebook at Freeform Network. We're on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And Mr. President-elect or Mr. Old President, you can send us questions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Again, this is Andy who voted and...
Daniel.
Did you vote, Danny?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so we are patriotic and we have the right to bitch, but we're back, we're here, and we're here to discuss many topics like always to our very loyal fan base.
Yeah, to kind of touch on what you just said, I heard Colin Kaepernick didn't vote, and he's one of those guys that has been kneeling down and to protest the government and whatever.
Damn hippies.
Yeah, man, I don't get that, man.
Well, I don't know. It's voting is it's very, a lot of people have a lot of different views. Some people think voting doesn't do anything. Some people think it's everything. I'm like in the middle on it. Like, I know I have to do it, but sometimes I do feel like my vote doesn't count.
Well, especially with the electoral vote process.
Yeah, everybody's bitching about that. It's been like that forever, everybody. I mean, read up on it, the Federalist Papers and the populations, everybody, it's just like, I don't get it. I mean, that's just the way it is, man. So your guy doesn't win, so now everybody wants to change the rules. It's been like that for over 100 years.
Well, I know we want to jump into our weeks, but man, before we do that, I think it's a dated process that's needs to be maybe phased out or changed somehow, because right now the electoral vote is what governs who our president's going to be. Whoever wins Ohio and Florida and those big states like that, they're the ones who are most likely going to be the next president. And I think that means that those two states hold too much weight, and where, you know, us, all our smaller states, you know, we don't win, or we don't, you know, kind of push the needle anywhere.
I was hoping it'd be like a tie electoral vote. Tie, and then like I want to see like what Congress would do. I know they're Republican, but a lot of people didn't support the Republican nominee. I mean, so it would have been very interesting how that would have gone. If it would have gone that way, I would feel Hillary probably would have gotten the nod, because she's the insider, you know, and she's great at being political. And I don't know if Trump would have been able to handle that. So I would wanted to see that process, because I've never seen that.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think even former President George Bush, he came out and said that he did not vote for Trump. So
a lot of people didn't. A lot of the standard elite establishment didn't vote for Trump. I mean, it was just like a handful of a couple people. But, like, other people, other Republicans that claimed, you know, I will support the Republican nominee, most of them didn't vote for him.
Yeah. I think it was a mixed bag. I think most of the typical Republican voters, just because it was the Trump candidate, they decided that maybe they would hold off or use their vote for somebody else. Maybe not Hillary. Maybe they didn't hate the Republican nominee that much to where they would vote for Hillary, but they definitely didn't vote for Trump. So, yeah, no, it was quite different.
Somebody voted for him.
Enough people did, yeah.
So, angry people did vote for him, but... I digress. Is that the proper word for that? I don't know.
Yeah, that means you're not going to say anything anymore.
Oh, shit. No, then I don't want to use that word. Could you edit that out later?
But jumping into our week, Andy, you made mention, kind of in a coincidence, my boy Chappelle came back, and he had a few comments about Mr. Trump winning.
Oh, yeah, Chappelle's back, and it's like he was gone for a while. He was on hiatus, and... He did SNL and...
Just smoking weed in Africa, or where was he at?
He just looks older, but ripped.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dude, he's, like, in good shape.
I haven't seen that SNL skit you're talking about.
Oh, man, it was hilarious. He does his intro, and right away, it's just like his old show. It's political, it's funny, it's truthful. But it's also, he gives you, like, you know, it's optimistic. Like, just, you know, listen to us. He knows what the shit is. He's just like, listen to us, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but yeah, the intro was great. I saw some of the skits online, and some of them are all right. Chris Rock made an appearance on one of them, but the best one that I saw was he he does this Walking Dead skit, and he plays Negan.
Okay.
And he has the infamous, you know, bat scene of who is he going to kill.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you see on their knees is all the characters he did on the Chappelle Show. So had Walter Bixby, the crackhead. He had the pimps. He had the white reporter. He had, who else he had? That was the five he had? Yeah, that's who he had on there. And it was fucking hilarious. And then Bixby puts on, like, Make America Great hat again. He like, we're coming for you, boy. I smell it. I smell it on you.
And that was the white supremacist.
Yeah, the black.
But he's a black guy and he's blind. Yeah.
Yeah, he puts it on and he's like, you're black. He's like, I don't think so. And then it just, we gotta watch it. But he was that fucking character. It would have been great if they made a sketch just on that character doing this whole process with the current election that we just had. So that would have been funny. And then the pimps were hilarious. They had that guy with the Jerry curl spraying all the time. And he was making some comments and shit. So it was hilarious. He still has it. And then it got me into watching some Chappelle Show like this morning. And I was watching some other people's. Joe Rogan had that guy that created the show with him. And he asked him, like, well, what happened? And, dude, they had, like, a big rift. And he went on there in details. He was giving details, like, of what was going on. He basically called out Dave and said he was, like, an egomaniac. And that they kind of split him up, the network, and tried to, like, fuck him over. But, you know, you should watch it. It's on everywhere on YouTube now, so you could watch it. Check it out. It's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. I got to download that SNL. I had heard about it. And I think even the musical guests kind of intrigued me.
Do you remember? Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe Called Quest, yeah.
Which I didn't even know. I thought they haven't done anything together in a long time. When I heard that, I'm like, whoa, like he's calling out the big guns.
Yeah, so, well, Tribe Called Quest are big friends of Dave Chappelle. They were on the show a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I remember when I heard that lineup, I'm like, oh, Chappelle's going to host with Tribe as the musical guest. I'm like, oh, shit, man, this looks like a good SNL. I might have to tune in. But it totally slipped my mind until you mentioned it this morning walking in. And I'm like, oh, man, I got to try to download it. And it sounds like it was pretty funny from what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, it's like SNL is like hit or miss. I haven't really watched SNL regularly since mid-90s when they were the shit. And then I watched it on and off with Will Ferrell. There were some years that they were struggling there. But after that, I haven't really watched much of it regularly. I would watch clips online. But when I heard Chappelle, like, I wanted to watch it and, like... Yeah, he looks old, dude. I mean, he's old, but he looks in decent shape, and he just looks older. That's it. Just looks older.
Yeah, man. No, I have to see if I could find a clip somewhere online so I could download and check it out. Because I always thought Dave Chappelle was funny. I always thought his show was real funny. Even though it was like on the racist tip, you know, and a lot of, you know, kind of racist
jokes.
There's
a lot of social commentary on African-Americans. I mean... You know, he's African American, so I know some people that they didn't like that. Like, they thought it was like making fun of him, I guess. I don't know, but to me it was hilarious.
And I think that's what got him to really quit. I think it was the pressure of the public kind of giving him, like, hey man, you're making fun of your own people. You know,
like social commentary,
yeah,
with
yeah.
Some of the stuff like the crib stuff and the black white supremacist. And I know that one, he said he got a lot of shit for that, but a lot of people say that is the most. Joe Rogan said that is the greatest sketch anyone's ever done on TV. Like, think about that, like Honeymooners, SNL, Mad TV, just. Carol Burnett show.
In Living Color.
Yeah, In Living Color. Like, all the shit that's been on variety shows. He said that's the best one ever. Because it's funny. It's making commentary. It's doing everything. And it has a lot of social commentary on that. That's all I could say, you know? I mean, it's... you can't make that shit up. He basically came up... I don't know how he came up with that, but that was hilarious.
No, for sure, man. No, man, have to tune in. All you out there, it sounds like it was a good little skits on SNL, so tune in, download it, and find it, man. Sounds like it's funny. But something else you mentioned you've been watching with your girlfriend is The Crown on Netflix. What is that show about?
Oh, man, I love the monarchy, especially the British monarchy. So this one's on Queen Elizabeth, how she came to power with their dad passing.
Is it like Tudors where everybody's just, you know, doing it?
Nah, Tudors, no. That's a whole different... They took a lot of liberties with that one, but that one was... he was doing a lot of fucking.
Yeah.
And he was the king, and he got away with it. And that guy was divorced, like, King Henry was, like, what, married, like, 7 or 8 times. And, so, yeah, the crown, I got up to... I mean, like, we're in the 4th episode. So, she is,
So, do you do a couple, rules where you got to watch it together, or do you just watch it?
Oh yeah, that's
the
rule, man. That's we talked about that in the past. The rules, you got to watch it together. So, but it's I know a lot of people don't like British shows, but I think the British make excellent TV, especially when it's comedies because it's so dark. But this one's a dramatic show, so it's pretty serious. Like I didn't know Queen Elizabeth's father wasn't originally supposed to be the king. It was his older brother. He renounced his throne because he wanted to marry this American lady or something. And they're like, you can't marry her. She's not royal. And he's like, well, I love her. So he renounced it. But like in the show, they portray it as like he does love her, but like he didn't like his family. Like he didn't really like England. And he bitches a lot about one of the deals was that he gets, and I have this in quote, a pension. So this is like in the 50s, like he's getting $10,000 a month. And he's talking to the Queen Elizabeth and his mother. And he's like, I can't live off of $10,000 anymore.
Damn.
And I'm just like, holy, like this is not like $10,000 now. This is $10,000 like in the 50s. Like the late 40s, early 50s, and he's living in New York. He's like, I live like a normal person, you know. I can't even take work because you guys won't let me. So, I need more money. I need you to raise my pension, he goes, or something to that effect. And I'm like, whoa.
Damn. Man, 10 grand, that's a pretty good chunk of change, man. I think I can make that stretch out.
He can make that stretch out right now. Imagine back in the 40s, you know, late 40s, early 50s. He's like, that's the agreement we have. And then when his brother died, the original king, his wife didn't like him too much. And he's just like, she's like, we're going to pull that. We're going to, now that he's gone, our lawyer said we could rip up that contract with him or whatever. And I'm just like, whoa. So it's like all these backroom dealings and stuff that people don't know about.
So what's the premise of the show? Is it just historical or is it?
Yeah, it's just reenactment of the monarchy with Queen Elizabeth. Like I said, right now, when she's all young, she just became the queen. And then, like, she's a female, and she's married, and her husband's name is Montalban. And the big thing is, like, his family is royal. They're, like, dukes. And he keeps telling her, okay, so you're my wife. So they want to change the name to his last name. They don't want to keep the name of the other family. And people are like, you can't do that. We can't. Those people ain't even, they're like from Norway or the Netherlands. They're like, they're not like full British royalty.
Yeah.
Like, we can't have that. So they're all like pressuring her to tell her husband, like, this is what it's going to be. And the husband's like, am I not your husband? That's what it is. Like, I know you're the queen, but that's the rules of society. Like, you don't let me work. I'm here all the time. You're making me move to the palace now. I just remodeled the house. It's like, at least take my name. And she's, like, struggling with all this. And then, like, Winston Churchill and people in the government, like, you can't take that. You got to use the name Windsor. And so she just, like, and then the next scene they show her, like, I'm going to use the name Windsor and all this other. You see the guy just, like, all pissed off. And I was just like, damn.
So is this one of those where Netflix dumped the whole season on there, or is it it's every week a new episode?
It's the only way Netflix does it, man. You just binge watch the shit out of it. So that's all their new shows now. They dump them all. They don't do weekly. Like, I know Amazon Prime does the weekly stuff or something. But Netflix, they just dump it all on there.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, I myself has never got into that. I tried to get into Tudors because you said that was a pretty good show.
Awesome fucking show.
I tried to watch it, but I couldn't really get into it. Tried to get into Game of Thrones. Couldn't really get into it too much. My wife, she really digs that stuff. She'll watch it,
right.
And she loves all that, like you said, that monarchy, king, queens, all the knighthoods. The realm
and all that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one of her favorite movies is like Braveheart. She loves all that knight
you
stuff.
Know, a lot of British people, they don't really like that movie too much. I think it's like Mel Gibson made up a lot of bullshit.
Well, I don't know how historical it is, but I'm saying
that's true.
But movie-wise, just watching it as a fictional movie, it's a good movie. I don't know how accurate,
it's
like you said.
It's based on true events. There
yeah,
I
don't
so
know.
Take your liberties.
Yeah. But nah, man. Yeah, so all you people out there that are into that king and queen stuff, it sounds like a pretty cool show. I know you're a big historian. You like watching documentaries about history and stuff, so obviously it's up your alley. But something else that's up your alley is eating some good hamburgers, man. I heard you busted out that slider press and tried it out, man. How those hamburgers work out.
For all you people out there, I love As Seen on TV products. So I bought my, I don't buy them at full retail price, man.
Did you have your Snuggie on while you were cooking
these? I do have a Snuggie. I got two of them, actually. no, I didn't because it gets a little greasy when you make these burgers. So I bought my, I have a big slider, big city slider station. Billy Mays really, the great Billy Mays, when he did his infomercial, got me hooked right away, man. Because I saw that, if you watch the infomercial, you see that kid eating this big fat burger, but he can't eat it because it's just too big and it's too sloppy. And then he put that big X, like, don't be this guy. Eat these little burgers. And the kid's like, man, this is awesome. And he's just eating those little burgers. I'm like, all I know is I want that. So I bought it. I bought it on eBay like for $1. Shipping was like $3 or something. And I've made them. I used them a couple times. My girl, I'm like, I'm going to make White Castles. And she's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I got the thing. So I made them, and they came out awesome, man. But they were a little smaller than they usually because you got a scooper. And I felt like they came out a little burnt. Like, because they want them well done in my house. They don't like any pink or anything in there.
Yeah.
So I had to cook them a little bit extra. But it came out good. You cut some onions. You put it in the griddle, in the thing, in the scooper thing. And then you just roll up the balls and you do a little mix. It gives you instructions and a lot of different type of recipes. But mine's pretty basic. I just put some onion, salt, pepper. I put a little bit of steak sauce in there too. And then scoop it up and just throw it in there, man. It's not too bad.
Cool, man. Throw some onions, some green peppers in there, or what, man?
No, I can, but I just threw onions in the griddle thing.
Okay.
I sliced up some onions. And I threw them in there, and it's pretty nice, man.
Where do you get those kind of buns? Those smaller buns.
I went to your local market. They have regular ones. I bought potato ones, so I splurged. They have a dozen of them was like $3, $3.60.
So they do sell those, right?
Yeah. They call them slider buns or something. The one I got was potato slider buns. I even seen pretzel bread ones.
Yeah, granted, I've never looked for them, but I've never seen it, you know, out of the corner of my eye. Like, oh, look, they got little mini buns. The only little mini buns I've seen are like those Hawaiian breads.
Yeah, the Hawaiian breads. I have had it with those. They're just...
it's too sweet.
It's too sweet, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have, like, they say dinner rolls. You see those?
Yeah, yeah.
Or use... they're called potato bread. They have them at the Jewels here in Chicago. So, I don't know if some of the other local places, or Albertsons, whatever the hell they're called across the country.
What? They're called a different name?
Yeah, called Albertsons.
Holy shit. Next, you're going to tell me Food for Less is called Kroger or somewhere else.
Yeah, it's Kroger Foods and not in the West Coast.
I thought that was super weird when I heard about that. I'm like, what?
But, you know, Kroger has a piece of Mariano's, right?
Oh, yeah. Do they?
They bought them out. They bought into them like a year or two ago.
Like a portion of their shares, you're saying? All right, cool. Because
for a while, Kroger was buying out, I don't know. Yeah, supermarket talk people, but they bought out like Mariano's, which is like this new store here in Chicago that everybody fucking loves. And they're like, this is successful, so we got to buy into it. Because they come down from Wisconsin down all to Chicago. So now they're like all over the place and people love them.
Mariano's is okay. My personal feeling is it's kind of overpriced. To me, it's like a Jewel's, but it's more like Costco Jewel's, where they got like these samples. You can walk around, eat food while you're shopping. But to me, it's like a gourmet Jewel pricing, where the only thing that's really worth it is the things that are on sale. But if it's not on sale, you're going to be paying that Jewel price instead of that food for less price.
Yeah, but food for less is, I don't know how to word it.
Poor people food?
Nah, man, it's processed, a lot of processed shit.
No, yeah, for sure.
And Whole Foods, or Mariano's too, is just, yeah, it's a little bit more pricier.
No, yeah.
I give you that. It is more expensive.
Like if I see something on their paper that kind of intrigues me, then I'll go out there for that. But I don't go like, all right, yeah, let's do our weekly groceries. We need this, 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 and this. Let's go shopping at Mariano's. Because then I end up paying, you know, another $30 more than I would probably pay at Food for Less. So, and not to, like, sponsor Food for Less or anything like that, but, you know.
Are they paying you? What's going on here?
Yeah, I know. I wish, man. But, yeah, you know, I'll just go wherever I see the deals at. But if we just have a random dozen things that we need to pick up and we don't really see anything on the sales ads, we'll go hit them up at Food for Less because we know that their pricing is going to be super competitive compared to the Jewels, the Dominic's,
right,
the, you know, Whole Foods or any other spot like that. But like you mentioned, might be a little more processed, might not be as organically kind of like Aldi's. They just came out and said that, you know, they're going to start carrying only organic food and that all their food is going to be organically something or other or some kind of nature. I forgot how they put it.
It's going to be organic according to the law. Not like, yes, organic, hippie organic.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. Because it didn't say like organically made or something. Or I forget what the wording was.
Locally sourced. Locally, this bullshit. No, it's just like it's organic under the law. Well, what does that mean? We just use this chemical, not this other crap.
Yeah, I forget what they call it. But when I read it, I assumed, I'm like, well, that's just like kind of like their little loophole. But at the same time, having that image like, yeah, we're healthy. We're about healthy stuff.
Yeah, that's where I shot, Danny. Aldi, man. And the dollar store. So I one up you, man. There you go.
Hell yeah, I got to save some money, man. And a spot that I didn't really save too much money was Juicio. It's a breakfast spot that me and Alana and Junior went to a couple days ago.
Right.
And it was a little on the pricey side, but you know what, man? For kind of having a dumb name, Juicio, it was a good breakfast spot, man.
Imagine there's like a lot of people working out that are juiced.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. All I know is that the logo, the O, is a donut. So I'm like, maybe it's like a pastry kind of breakfast place or something. And sure enough, when we got in there, their big thing is these mini donuts that they make. They make these like cinnamon sugar covered mini donuts. So whenever you sit down, they just bring you a bowl of donuts. It's like their bread, you know.
Is it organic?
That I don't know. It's probably
gluten free.
Might be gluten. I don't know. I didn't really ask. They tasted pretty good, actually.
Do you have like a dozen of them?
They bring out like maybe like eight of them.
Holy shit! And that's part of your breakfast?
Yeah, it's just like in the basket. You know,
holy
like
what? Shit.
You know, kind of how when you go to a restaurant, sometimes they bring out like a bread basket, and then while you're eating, yeah. Well, this breakfast joint, they just bring out a little basket, and it's got like eight donuts in there.
Man, where's this place at, man? Now I want to go.
Yeah, no, man, it's actually pretty good, man. Other than the pricing, which is not super overly priced, I'm not making it sound like you're going to pay $100, but it definitely wasn't, you know, like a four-for-four meal, you know, maybe you get at Denny's and stuff like that.
Right.
It's more in the $10 range per breakfast meal, so you'll get, you know, hash browns, whatever, eggs, and some side of meat for $10, which is not superly overly priced, but it is a little on the higher end, at least for me, considering that there's cheaper alternatives. But I gotta admit, man, it was worth it, man. The food was really good, the donuts were very delicious, and the wait wasn't too bad. I mean, even though the place is kind of big, the one that I went to the one by Fry's, which is by like Cermak and Highland Road. And, man, it was good,
so
man.
So it's a chain?
Yeah. There's like three or four locations. When I Googled it, because I went with a Groupon, I was on Groupon, and I saw that they we're selling these breakfast, whatever, you know, pay $7, get $15 worth of food kind of thing.
Right, right.
And so that's the location I picked, but they had like four or five in the area here, in the Chicagoland area. And man, it was good. It was good. It was a big crowd. It was a lot of people, a lot of tables, and it was a packed house.
Did you go? Would you get an omelet?
No, I ended up getting a skillet, which kind of regret what I got. I wanted something with like a.
He's like, fuck.
I wanted like potato-ish kind of. I don't know, with some kind of meat in a skillet.
Get an omelet.
And I was gonna get. I forget what it was called, but it was like some Mexican Tex skillet, something or other. And then, yeah, it was like with chorizo and some
green or red peppers, whatever. Yeah. Shit, yeah.
But then the hash brown one kind of called me. He's like, yeah, man, I haven't had some good, and for me, like I said, food for less generic hash browns with my eggs. So
I want some fucking hash browns, damn it.
So I ordered it, dude, and it comes, and they bring some natural hash browns. Like, this is like, instead of those
like
little
sliced
cubes,
potatoes or something.
It's like instead of the cube hash browns that came out of some machine that probably processed it, this is like real hash brown meat. So it's like shredded hash brown,
good skin and everything.
Yeah, right. And it's like all this, and I mean, it tasted pretty good. But it wasn't what I was expecting, and I'm like, man, I should have grabbed that Mexican skillet, whatever thing, got some chorizo.
Right, right.
But it was pretty good. Alana ended up getting like some omelet, like some veggie triple cheese omelet or something or other, man, and that looked really good. I got a little taste of that one. That was good. And then their southern potatoes that they have, which they serve with all their meals. Oh man, that was delicious, man. It had a little spice on it. They like put like a little paprika or what do they call that?
Paprika,
yeah. And they put it on there, and it gives the potatoes like a little extra kick. And man, they were delicious. For Alana, they were a little on the spicy side since she doesn't really dig too much spice.
Did you yell at her?
No. All it ended up doing was benefiting me because I ended up taking those potatoes home and eating them later on.
Spicy? Nah, they ain't spicy. Did you get them?
So, yeah, but they do serve regular hash browns, but the ones that I ended up getting was their, you know, southern whatever hash browns. So, yeah, man.
So you put hot sauce on that shit?
You know, they didn't bring me a hot sauce bottle, but Junior did mention it at right about when we're going to leave. And he's just like, oh, Daddy, they got hot sauce. Let's do a hot sauce challenge.
They're like, this is a Trump America now. Get out of here. You don't need no hot sauce up in here, man.
It was before the Trump election, yeah. But no, even Junior ate. He ate some yogurt and some of the pancakes, and the pancakes tasted really, really good. I'm not a big pancake guy, just because I'm diabetic and I don't really like to eat a lot of bread. But the pancakes were really good.
You think they're gonna be better than those three pancakes for 89 cents at Burger King?
I haven't tasted them, so I can't give you a review.
I was hoping you would buy. I know Danny saw that and he probably started salivating.
I did see that, and I'm like, man, I gotta try these out. But like I said, I'm not a big pancake person. I try to keep my carbs down as far as I can, and if I am gonna splurge with carbs, I'm gonna get potatoes because I dig potatoes more than I dig
really,
a pancake.
Yeah, it is having a lot of carbs.
Yeah. So if I'm going to, you know, dig on some carbs and deal with that, then I'd rather deal with it with something I like. So usually I get potatoes or I'll get like one of those Greek toast breads, but I don't usually get pancakes. But the little piece that I ate because I was cutting them up for Junior and I grabbed one, it tasted really good. It was nice and fluffy and a really good taste.
Let me ask you this real quick now. When you're on with your family, does Junior reach over to your plate and grab a lot of food out of there?
No, I
or nothing else. He don't have that money.
I think he would feel comfortable doing it, but since he's a real picky eater, usually the shit that I'm eating, he doesn't want to eat.
All right.
So it doesn't happen too often. He's really picky on the stuff that he eats, but usually I offer him what I'm eating. I'm like, hey, you want to taste this? And he's like, no. Like yesterday, we went and ate some soup and salad at Chili's, and I offered him some soup. And I'm like, look, buddy, I'm like, it's potato soup with like bacon on top. And he's like, no, I don't want any.
That's boring.
Man, it was really good.
That is good soup there.
Yeah.
I always imagine they must get a huge, like, 20-pound bag and then just throw it in a pot.
Yeah, right? I imagine that's what it is.
Can you imagine how they make that fucking soup?
Yeah, it's some
I don't want to think about it.
Some big casserole and they just had
like these prepackaged
gallons
shit.
And gallons yeah. of that stuff in there.
I'm like, man, they probably get in, like, in a 55-gallon drum.
But, yeah, man, Juicio's, if you guys are in the western suburbs, check it out, man. It was pretty good food, about $10 a plate. And then if you get sides, obviously more. But yeah, man, it was good eating.
I want to check it out. Yeah.
At least the one in Cermak, the decor was even pretty cool. They had all these pictures on the walls with a bunch of like jokes and sayings.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the bathroom with Junior. Oh, and on the way to the bathroom, they have the donut machine that shows you them making the donuts because they make them there fresh.
Right.
So they had like the dough going through the machine and getting punched out and then going through the oil and stuff. And it looked really cool. Junior was getting a kick out of that. But as we were going into the bathroom, I'm in the urinal and Junior's in the urinal next to me. And they have all these signs all over the place, like I said. And the one right in front of me said something like some joke. I don't remember the exact words, but the basic gist was my wife is such a good home or she's really good at cleaning homes. After the divorce, she cleaned me out or something like that. So there's those theme jokes, you know.
Right.
You know, there was another one, something like, yeah.
Pretty sure someone that found that offensive. You think it's only in the guy's bathroom?
Well, that's probably like a guy-centric joke, so they put it in the guy's bathroom. But even throughout the restaurant, there's other ones, you know, kind of like if you have a complaint, see our complaint department, it's right outside, or something like that. You know, those like goofy things like that, you know, kind of like little jabs and jokes. You know, coffee the ultimate Indonesiac or whatever. It was, you know, just stuff like that. And it was pretty funny. Junior got a kick out of a few of them as well. The other thing I got into this weekend, Andy, I finally saw that movie based on your recommendation, Star Trek Beyond. And I know we kind of talked about that already.
Yeah, we talked about it a while back. Check out the episode, man. I think my review is going to be better than Danny's.
Well, to me, I dug it, man. I know some people were kind of crapping on it, saying that it wasn't as good as the first one. I thought it was good. Really quick, man. Before I knew it, I was just like, holy shit, the movie's about to wrap up. You know, they're coming up to the final sequence kind of thing. And it really surprised me how quick it moved and didn't really build much. You know, it was kind of like bam bam bang, scene, and then the ending came up.
It's just a good action flick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would call it, more of an action movie versus what the first one. To me, it was more dramatic. They built the characters. There was these like long drawn out scenes. I mean, just him riding the motorcycle in the first movie, that was like a 15-minute scene all by himself, you know, just him riding the motorcycle, seeing the vistas, having a dialogue with this character, that character, and it was building. Here, it's more like bam, 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 driving a motorcycle. Before you know it, he's flipping out in the air and he's catching the chick and trying to save the world.
Right.
So it's really, really quick, man. It's quick scenes, quick. Everything's developing really, really fast.
Well, it's a different director.
Oh, is it a different director? I was thinking that. I was like, I wonder if this is a different director than the first
Abrams
one.
J.J. Abrams too busy working on Star Wars, so he left this to the guy who does the Fast and the Furious movies.
Okay. I mean, it's good. I wasn't hating on it. I thought it was good. Maybe it's because it was getting so much hate in me being a Star Trek fan that I kind of like gave it more of a leniency. But it is more of an action movie. If you're expecting the same thing that you saw from Star Trek 1, the reboot, it's not that. It's a slightly different. But it's still good. I like the actor that plays Kirk.
Yeah, they made.
I like the Spock actor. I thought it was a good movie.
They made some commentaries on certain things, but overall, it's just nonstop action, man.
Commentaries? Like what? What was the hidden thing that maybe I missed?
Like the social commentary with Sulu and, you know, his family. And then that was like the only thing I saw where they're like, yeah, this is like, you know, this is cool. And then that's the only thing I can remember from what I saw.
Yeah, at the end, there's a kind of like a twist and kind of speaking in code here, Andy. I don't recall that character being in the universe. So I thought it was kind of weird, and me being kind of like a Star Trek geek, I'm like, man, is this something that happened in the universe that I'm just not familiar with, or maybe did it pass me by? Was maybe the reference to something from Deep Space Nine, which I didn't really watch, or Voyager, which I didn't watch too much either.
I don't recall. I'm trying to think. It was at the end there, because when they're all talking at the end.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, man, I kind of missed it. So I kind of Googled it and tried to see if there was anything more on it. And they say that there was hints to the character in the universe, but it was something created for the movie. So I didn't feel as bad that maybe I missed something, you know, like, you know, Captain Picard came out at the end, and I was just like, holy shit, I wasn't aware Captain Picard was in the Star Trek universe kind of thing. Not that he pops out, but, you know, like that kind of, you know, revelation.
Right. No, I don't recall.
It was more like a character, and I'm like, man, is...
Well, just say what happened, man. Refresh my memory.
Well, the Franklin character, I didn't know if he was actually in the universe before mentioned. Because I know in your review you had said that there was a lot of hints to the Enterprise, the original Archer captain.
Yeah, they make references to characters in Enterprise, like Mako. Because you see them in the Franklin, that guy, and when he's doing his video journals and stuff, you see people in there with, like, Enterprise uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why you see them with the... I remember... like they had like special, because you know they didn't have like armed force armed the they, that was before they were like the Federation.
Yeah,
that was just
there were a military force, or like I forget the name of the group, of Mako or
yeah
whatever.
The Makos or whatever. It was just like those were like their security people, the,
like a CIA, yeah. Like a
no, they were like security people. They was part of, not officially a part of.
I took it as them being like a Mission Impossible. Like, that's no. The kind of group they were. Like, they were doing special ops. They were doing security jobs. And they were trying to keep the, you know, like, Earth.
What was it called? What were they called before they became the Federation? Before they joined the Federation? They were, how this nerd talk. whatever they were before that, they were, they weren't, like, military. And there's people pushing for them to be military.
Yeah.
And then they put that group there to help them as, like, security. And then they started putting, like weapons and stuff into it before it became, like, before they joined the Federation, before now everybody's armed and they got all this shit, photon, this and that. So I forgot what the hell. I can't remember it right now.
Well, there's a character, Franklin, and they kind of, the way they kind of alluded to it, I thought that maybe he was, like, a character in Deep Space Nine, for example, that no. Maybe I was just not aware of this character.
They reference a lot of Enterprise stuff in that, because that is before...
It's pre-Enterprise.
Pre-Enterprise, because they were sending out people before they had, like, warp stuff or something, or I forgot, but they were sending them out to colonize certain parts, and, like, I remember in Enterprise, I think they talked about some of those groups, too, if I remember correctly. I don't know if there was this one specific, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, that USS Franklin, it was the first Warp 4, I think they said.
Yeah, some goofy thing, yeah.
The first Warp 4 space. And then the Enterprise was the first Warp 5 spaceship that Archer commanded. So I was just like, yeah, this must be pre-Enterprise. And like you said, in some of the video montages that they play in the background, you could kind of see the old Enterprise-ish characters.
The Enterprise show, like, uniforms and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no, it was pretty good movie. Just not part one. And I know Alana dug part one a lot. She thought that whole love between Spock and O'Hara was a good little spin in the background. So she really dug it. We watched part two, and that was a little more actiony, but still a good movie. And part three, I think, took it over the top with some of the action. I still dug it, but maybe some people won't, not as much. But it was good, man. So for you Star Trek geeks out there, I think it's a good movie to watch. But just don't expect anything like Star Trek 1.
Which, Kirk with Shatner, man?
No, I forget all them stuffs. The other thing that I thought kind of weird was the photo ending with where the new Spock opens up Admiral, the old Spock, Leonard Nimoy, Where he opens up like his chest and then he sees like a bunch of things in there. I thought that was kind of goofy too.
Xander always got to be up in those movies, man. He's had to take for Spock to die, but he made his cameo.
The other thing that I liked was there was a line in the movie where Bones, and he's just like, well, he's like, this is to you, Kurt. They're having like a little toast privately.
Right.
And he's like, to us, to health, and to having a full set of hair. And then they clink their glasses, and I'm like, I wonder if that's a nod to...
That's a jab at fucking Shatner.
I'm like, is that a nod to Shatner? Because Shatner was a... He made a big deal about having a full set of hair.
That's a jab at Shatner.
I just thought that was kind of funny. The last thing, Andy, that I kind of did real quick is I went to my nephew's birthday party, Isaac's. He turned one a few weeks ago, and man, it was a great party. I have not gone to that community center,
right?
Which is actually in Melrose Park here, right where I live, but I've never gone in there. So when I found out that his party was going to be there, I'm like, oh, cool! I get to check it out. Maybe I'll have a birthday party or some kind of event there in the future. So it was good for me to go check it out, and man, it was a nice facility. It was really nice and clean, right. Big. The room was pretty big. I mean, she had a big crowd of people, and it was a very good turnout. A lot of kids, a lot of my cousins, aunts, uncles. So, man, it was a good party. And the food, these people, they always go over the top. Saul and Vanessa, they always go crazy. They had hot dogs. They had pizza. They had nachos.
They have beer?
No beer.
And that wasn't a kid's party.
No.
A Mexican beer.
You know, I don't think they let you have beer at those
there's always beer,
like
man.
veteran you I know, facilities.
That's how they make their money, man.
Nah, I don't think they do. I think it's part of the rules that you can't have alcohol. But, man, the pizza was great. It was from Tree Guys, the one in Itasca, or what is that, Wooddale?
Yeah, Itasca.
Yeah, they had a pizza from there, which I've had it before, and it's really good. And then, like I said, hot dogs, which were just ballpark Franks, but they were good. And then nachos, man, that was the thing that took it over the top. They had all these like nacho, just chips, and then the little fondue stew thing with a bunch of nacho cheese, and man, you just scoop that in and throw that on them nachos with some jalapenos. Boom, man, that didn't hit the spot.
All you can eat, man.
Yeah, man, it was good.
Damn, man, shit.
Well, the theme, unlike something that I sponsored, was a Cubs theme. So they had, to them, it was like ballpark food kind of stuff. They had chips and pop. And
kids' parties have themes?
Well, yeah, whatever the kid wants for his party. You don't just have a party anyway.
Just have a party, man.
No, you got to have like a Mickey Mouse party, and then everything's like, got to be Mickey Mouse.
All the kids' party when I was growing up was all arrachera, beer, and arroz and frijoles.
No,
there's no like in a piñata.
Get ready for a rude awakening, Andy, man.
Theme
parties
here, man.
Get expensive, man. Because now you need.
But now I need to hear what your dad said about all this shit.
Now you need decorations that are specially to the theme. Junior wants a Five Nights at Freddy's party for his next one.
Right.
And I already kind of tried to Google some of the like centerpieces and tablecloths. And man, I couldn't find too many. And the ones that I could find were superly overly priced. So that's going to be a fun one if he does decide that he wants to keep that theme.
I can imagine your day. How much does this cost? Man, I could have done this out of my backyard for half the price.
Yeah, I think luckily, I think Saul and Vanessa have learned not to tell my dad pricing, because no matter what price you tell my dad, he's like, oh, for that much, I could have fed the whole block or done this.
It's like
and
it was
done
$10,
that.
Dad. Man, you know what I could have done $10 in my backyard?
Yep.
Shit, man.
To my dad,
unlimited.
To my dad, everything is cheaper in the backyard with some arracheras, and he can make it that 10 times better, supposedly.
Like, I have your mom thin up that arrachera. I have this. And that.
Yep. But yeah, no, man, it was a good turnout. It was
good.
A good party.
Good.
Some good food, and it went by really quick, man. Even though it was like a 3-hour old soul party, It went by super quick, and man, it was cool. But jumping into what we were going to talk about this weekend, and we kind of prefaced it a little bit on the before, was just your thoughts on the election, man. As you said in our little intro, President-elect Trump will be taking over the White House shortly. And he beat out Hillary Clinton as well as the independent candidates, Jill Stein, and Johnson. Gary Johnson. Yeah. So Trump's our president, man. How are you feeling, man? You've been busy protesting on the streets, or what's your feeling, man?
You saw a lot of pissed off people voting. That's what happens when the current administration forgets a whole segment of America. And the people that were put in front of us, the two-party system that we have. I mean, let's just get it out there, man. Trump is not a Republican at all. He is social liberal on social issues. And he's not like this staunch conservative, you know, or staunch Republican that everybody makes him out to be. He's very social, very liberal on social issues, which I don't know why the Democratic people or whatever have an issue. He's very gay friendly. He never talks shit about gays. He's for abortion. Yeah, he said no. He flips flops on abortion. All right, but I think he's fine with it. He don't care. He's down with LGBT, with the transgender people. He's not really, you know, a Christian. Yeah, he might say he's a Christian, but it's just, I don't know. I don't see him ever going to church ever. And the only thing he said is he a racist? I think it's more rhetoric just to get people that certain segment that Obama forgot about to vote for him. Like, I'm going to build a wall. Now, he might. I'm seeing all this stuff that he might do it, that they might have money for it. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if he actually gets that done.
Was it going to be like the rest of the construction here in the United States where they start it and then they get halfway through and they run out of funding?
That's what Trump does, dude. He's in real estate. He has built shit. I mean, he knows how to build things. As much as people hate it, he's done it. There's Trump Towers, Trump Casinos. Now, do they make money? Now, that's a whole other issue, but he can get shit built. That's what he's known for to do.
Yeah, and that's why I mentioned it, because a lot of the construction around here, you'll see it start, get a few months in, and then all of a sudden you see a ghost town, and nothing progresses because they ran out of money or they ran out of funding, and then they have to scrounge around some more money so they could finish the project up, and that happens all the time. I think they under budget or they overcharge or whatever the case may be, but half the time these projects never get finished.
Now, you know, Obama, he pissed off a lot of people. Trump went to that base that Obama forgot about. Now, I'm not saying Obama is like the worst thing, but the only thing he did decent, he gave insurance to people. But the way he went about it was all fucked up. It's going to cost a shitload of money. Yeah, and that's the thing that everybody's shitting on. And now he said that, Trump said, I think today I read that he's going to repeal it, but he's going to keep certain things on there. So it'd be interesting to see what he's going to do.
To me, it needs to get blown up and start all over. I know Hillary's big thing was like, let's fix the things that are broken with it. But Obamacare was brought out there to be the answer to everything. And obviously, from what I can tell, it's not. I mean, some of the articles that I've been reading is that some people are expecting 30% to 40% increases in their rates.
Everyone, and like everybody. People who didn't even sign up for it, your premiums are going up because that's all tied up to our insurance. So that's why they need to fix it or get rid of it. Pick one. I mean, they're probably gonna end up getting rid of it, but you know, Trump spoke to a lot of people. The Democrats with Hillary, she's a Clinton. Let's just get. I don't like the Clintons. Second of all, it was for her to win it. She just didn't communicate. I read somewhere someone put it correct. She's a '90s. She was '90s Hillary trying to work with in the millennium in the new millennium. It was just like '90s rhetoric shit. Like these kids, millennials or whatever, the African American community. They didn't want to hear none of that shit. They wanted to hear what was new, but it was just the same shit. Like Trump would say, you come around every 4 years with the black people, the African Americans. Yeah, we're going to do all this shit. Once you get their votes, you bounce and don't do shit for them.
Exactly.
And they got tired of hearing that. That's why they didn't come out and vote for her. Because it's the same shit. You don't think This one guy on Fox Business News made a great statement. I remember watching it on election night. The African-American community didn't vote for him because it's the same rhetoric that she's been saying. Like, oh, don't worry, I got you health insurance, and I'm gonna get this job that pays you $15 an hour. You don't think people in the African-American community want to be make millions? You don't think they want to be have more than that insurance and a $15 job? Don't you think they want to be entrepreneurs? Don't you think they want to have their own businesses? When has she ever said that to them? It's always the same status quo of, here's your $15. I'm going to get minimum wage for you to get that $15 job, and I got you health insurance, quote Obamacare. She's like, that's more. There's many more people in that community that want more than that. They want to be business people. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to be millionaires. They want to be billionaires. They want to have a big company. She never once said that. She goes, Trump, that's what they want to be, is Trump. Make money, have a lot of money, be a successful business, whatever. And they feel that Trump's going to give them that option.
Now, to me, I think also what kind of hurt Hillary was all the FBI inquiries with the emails. I think that really damaged her, where it got these people that were kind of on the fence, you know, they didn't know where to go. Either maybe they didn't really care too much for Trump, but, you know, they want something stable with Hillary, where it kind of tossed them people back to the Trump camp. I don't know what your feelings are, but I think those emails scandal with the FBI, and it might still be ongoing, I don't know. There's even rumors that Obama might pardon her as one of his last things before he leaves office.
Yeah, I was reading, like, how can you pardon someone who hasn't been charged? Well, like, it's happened a bunch of times, I read. So, yeah, Hillary, it was there. I saw a clip today that said that, you know, the establishment, the media, they're like, down to Obama, down to the Republican Party, Democrat, the standard. There was one person when the first thing would, when they first started the primary season kicked around, everybody would laugh at Trump, right? I was on a Bill Maher show. It had Ann Coulter and a bunch of other people. Bill Maher goes to Ann Coulter, who do you think is going to win out of the Republican primary? She goes, Donald Trump. Dude, people were laughing at her. They were making fun of her. And she just got all red. But she stuck to her words. Everybody else, Mitt Romney, people from the Republican, the Obama, Kasich. Like, yeah, Trump's not going to win the primary. It's a joke, yeah. It's like, nah, like... The reporter from CNN asked Obama, could you imagine Trump winning and speaking, making a State of the Union address? He goes, yeah, I could see it like an SNL, but he's not going to ever do that. So, like, people from day one were shitting on him. And so I think that motivated him. And, like, he spoke to that base, man. A lot of pissed off people out there. And, you know, people don't get it because we live in a big city. We live in a Democratic state. The only reason we're Democratic is because of Chicago. And everybody else down south, down out west, the suburbs, everything is Republican. It's just you can't beat the 3-4 million people in Chicago. You know, the rest of the state can't compete with that. That's why we have the Electoral College. But even though, you know, it's hard to compete with the major cities. Like, you look at that map that went... like, they break it down by the counties. Like, you look at Illinois, Chicago and, like, DuPage are the only ones that are blue. The rest of the state is all red. I think maybe there's one or two counties in the rest of the state that are blue. But you have, like, 4 million people in that one county.
Yeah, yeah.
But Trump spoke to people, a lot of people, like I said, the pissed off middle class that I feel like Obama forgot, and they are getting screwed. It's people who have manufacturing jobs, and they see jobs going overseas, and the Democrats, even to some Republicans, they never said, like, oh yeah, you know, it's gonna be all right, we're gonna get you these new jobs. But those are jobs that paid decent, and you know, who's ever stood up for him? It wasn't Dan. It wasn't Hillary.
I think the other thing that kind of helped Trump as well was the Ford announcing that they're going to move to Mexico for manufacturing. Yeah. And I think he jumped on top of that and, you know, pardon the pun, but he trumped he trumped Hillary on that, where he went out there and he kind of just was like, hey, this is not going to happen in my administration. These companies are not going to leave us, because as soon as they leave us, Ford is going to have to pay a tax to bring their vehicles.
35%. Yep. Yeah.
So if companies do want to leave, if they think it's more beneficiary, fine. You're going to have to pay us up front with a tax to bring in your vehicles here into the United States. And the whole NAFTA talk with, you know, kind of restructuring after or getting rid of it, to the where we get companies to want to stay here in the States rather than go overseas and try to save some money out there. And then we get screwed here because all of our job manufacturing wise go, you know, out of the country. Now, granted, that does kind of increase some of the other stuff. You know, we get more stuff in technology and whatnot, other jobs. But let's be honest, man, a lot of the middle class, they work at factories. They make their living off of jobs like that. And unless you get a super education or you get some education, you can't get those upper administration.
Which is expensive to go to school in this country, which that's something they really didn't tackle. I think Hillary kind of talked about, I know Bernie Sanders talked about it a lot.
Yeah, the free college.
Because anybody goes to school, I mean, their fucking the student loans is ridiculous. That's a racket, dude. Yeah. I mean, I wish I could loan for money to people to go to school, because you own them. I mean, people graduate. I know people who graduated 10 years ago and they're still paying them damn things off.
Yeah, and I got buddies who graduated with me from high school, and I'm about to come into my 40s, and they're still paying off their college tuition, dude.
It's a racket, and then you can't declare bankruptcy or anything on that. You have to pay them off. That's like immune to it.
Yeah.
And all you could do is, like, I think they let you refinance on that. I don't know. But I know they have like multiple loans, and they like this one big loan. It's like spread out loans and stuff.
Yeah, it's very difficult, man. So I don't know. I think, like you said, what spoke to the people was something different. It wasn't the typical rhetoric from political. I mean, even Republicans, because I don't think Bush kind of changed the game either. He kind of just brought the same stuff Republicans bring to the table. And I think, like you said, Trump isn't really your typical Republican. He's just something different. And I think that's what people were kind of, you know, enamored with, where, you know, they wanted something different. I myself, just putting it out there, I didn't really vote for him, but I could understand why people gravitate to him and why people want him as the president.
If they would have picked Hillary, or let's say Kasich, who was all right, Chris Christie, who was it, Rubio? I mean, Rubio at one time was like a favorite. Cruz, that weird bastard. It's just like the same shit, dude. It's just going to be like nothing's going to get done. Once they get in there, they change. He is completely outside of that world. He didn't really take money from anybody. He took money from regular people. He's not beholden to anybody. And he's going to go in there, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does. If he's going to be able to fire people or just keep people, or there's going to be people questioning him on everything because he doesn't really know. Like, you know, people, well, he doesn't know. Well, that's a good thing, dude. You go in there, you'll be able to observe and see how this shit works, and then you can make it around, turn it around to what you want to do. Now, people are already saying, like, this is going to happen. He's going to resign and all this shit that's coming out. But I don't know. I just know there's a lot of pissed off people. The Democrats, Hillary, like, he would say, like, you've been in public service for 32 years or whatever. What have you done for all of us? Why didn't you do it, like, your first 10 years? Like, why now? He got around there. He's just, that's the big thought on all the people who voted for him. It's like, it's going to be the same shit. Bush, Clinton, and then who do we have? Bush, and Obama, and then another fucking Clinton? Come on, man. This is America. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, are these the only two families we could vote for? And they had another Bush running in this election.
Yeah, Jeb Bush.
He was doomed, dude, and he was like, you're not going to be president, blah, blah, blah. He was like yelling at him in one of the primaries. And I bet you he couldn't understand how he was losing to this guy, because people are tired of that. And like, you saw with the emails what the Clintons did to fuck over Bernie, because I thought Bernie for sure. And then you read all the emails how they were, the party was like, didn't want him. They were like trying to plant stories about him, and like they were stealing like some of his money that people were like, it is fucked up, dude. And that's the Democratic Party. I told one of my buddies, you know, he was like, oh, it's rigged. It, you know, he's like a big Democrat, and he's from Chicago, and he's like, oh, how can you believe it's rigged? Like, dude, you're from Chicago. You seen what the Democrats have been in power for all their fucking lives. It's fucking rigged. And then the emails exposed. Hillary's originally from Chicago, dude. Obama's from Chicago. They know how to work that shit to their benefit. And now it's like right there in your face and people still don't believe it. They had dead people voting for Kennedy and other people. Dude, they know how to do it.
They know how to work the machine, Andy?
Yeah, it's a fucking machine. They know what to do. Now, I read somewhere today that they did some, like, goofy, like, Hillary gotten 5 states that she should have, but she worked, the machine was out there working for him. So, I don't know how far that's going to go, but I don't know, man. I didn't vote for Trump. I didn't vote for Clinton. I actually voted for Jill Stein, and I don't want to say it was a wasted vote, but Gary Johnson, I didn't like him at all.
Well, I think what happened, if anything, even though the independent candidate, I believe, only won like 4% or something like that. It was like a single digit of the candidate total. I think hopefully it'll empower the independent party, because I don't think it should be just a two-party race. I think the more choices we have, very similar to the insurance, very similar to Obamacare, the more choices that you give people, the better and the more competitive they're going to be. And the more opportunity it's going to get for things to get better, man. So I think the third party needs to become a little stronger to be able to be a contender and give us another option. So where that we will get these crappy candidates, you know, this, you know, Trump and Hillary candidate, you can vote the third person and hopefully get something different that would be better than the first two parties. Now, very quickly, Andy, before we run out of time, what's your thoughts with all these protesters right after the election? People started hitting the streets, started protesting the election results where Trump won. What is your feeling? Are you for protesting? Are you for letting people openly protest stuff like that?
I've already seen enough protests on my Facebook. I mean, people were pissed off that Hillary didn't win.
Yeah, that's the other thing, man. Jesus.
I mean, it's their right to protest, but I really don't understand what they're protesting. They're just upset that Hillary didn't win, or did he do something like to fix the election? And like, they're just there, like they're upset that they didn't win, which is fine. You will voice your opinion, but I don't understand. I get it that they're pissed off, but what are they protesting? Like, do they want to change something? Where's the injustice? Like, this is how the system is. It's how it's worked for 100 fucking years, more than that. And now you're protesting because Hillary didn't win. Like, I don't get that.
I kind of feel the same way. I'm for protest. I think people should have a voice. People should be able to speak. I'm a real big protector of freedom of speech. You should be able to say whatever the hell you want, even if it's against what I believe. I don't believe in white supremacists, but if Ku Klux Klan wants to have a rally and they want to talk, I think it's their freedom and their right to have it. I don't agree with it. But stuff like that, I believe, should be open for the people. That's you're right.
Like, I understand why Kaepernick knees at the, and I don't like it, but he could do that. He is actually, he says why he's doing it. Like, all the shit with the cop shootings and all that. Like, that's fucked up. Like, you see videos.
Against the establishment.
Yeah, it's just that. I get that. Like, is there other ways to go about it, or at another forum besides when they sing the national anthem? Yeah, that's really fucking sticking it to people, but especially to veterans. But I get it, and it's his right to do it. I don't agree with it, the way he's doing it, especially during the national anthem, but like that I get it. Like, okay, I get it. He's pissed off about this. But the shit with the Trump, I think they're just pissed that
their candidate didn't win.
And it's like, when I don't know who these people are or what voice or what organization. Like, I haven't really seen anything. And it's just like, I know I shit on millennials. I don't know if these people are millennials. Like, they're having, like, I feel like a tantrum. So they're just like, oh, this is fucked up. And, like, this is, like, the first time they've been genuinely upset. So they're out there just voicing their concern.
I agree. I think it's, if there was something in particular, like if there were protesting the Electoral College, I would be for that. I'd be like, all right, I understand that. I understand how some people are frustrated with that. It might not think it's right, and they're asking for reform or asking for a change. All right, let's protest that. But to protest something where you had an opportunity to be a voice, because that's the other big thing. Oh, that's my voice. It's my freedom to voice my displeasure. It's my voice. Well, you should have had your voice there before the election. You should have had your voice there, and you should have voted, and then your candidate would have won. Or maybe they did go vote, and their candidate still lost. So, to me, I don't understand it. If somebody gets shot on the street, a police officer kills somebody, all right, let's go protest that the cops are being unjust. Let's go protest, like you said, something that happened. It was an event. It was an injustice.
Wrongdoing.
Exactly. But to go out there because your candidate lost, to me, I don't think that's right. I agree with the protest. I think protests should be allowed. But for some of these people that are like, we'll protest the 4 years that he's in office. We'll protest until the day he's out of office. I don't agree with that, man. To me, he won. He is not the candidate that I voted for. He was not the candidate that I wanted. But he won. He's the president. I think we need to come together as a nation. And we need to support him. And we need to give him... at least not stand in his way. Maybe we don't go out and start, you know, flying Trump flags or whatever. But you can't stand in his way. You got to let him go out there and try his best. And then if it does fail, then in 4 years, guess what, guys? You can vote for somebody else in.
Vote for another reality show guy.
Yep. Get Arnold Schwarzenegger in there, man.
He can't, man. He's not American, man. I know they tried to change the law a while back, but, like, you guys are idiots. He's not.
Well, what about Obama? Born. Obama got in there. He's not an American.
Well, Trump said he is now, so it's cool.
And on that note, man, we'd like to thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed all this political talk. But we'd like to remind you, jump onto Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. There you're going to see all of Andy's great posts on our social media site. Send in those questions and suggestions. Andy loves trolling those emails, seeing all that great stuff you guys send in for him. FFNquestions@gmail.com. Visit our webpage. See all of our good links, all of our good stuff for all of our different providers. Freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Don't forget, guys, hit that subscribe and like button on whatever device you're using, whether it be Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, or whatever other third party that's in there. Hit that subscribe and like button. It really helps our numbers out. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
I voted Andy.
And for Freeform Radio, we'd like to thank you for listening. Have a blessed week, and we will see you back next week.
Dad.